Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Wow, that was beautiful. Well, welcome. We are so glad that you are here this morning. Somebody suggested to me that I quit smoking, and especially outside, that I just throw away my cigarettes because it's not doing anybody else outside any good. I told the person I've tried to change brands, thinking maybe that'll help. But I guess that's not helping either. All right, you all know I'm just kidding, right? I don't smoke, okay? Haven't ever smoked. Well, maybe for a real short time in my life, but I gave that up many, 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 many years ago. All right, are you glad you're here this morning?
Yeah.
Hey, do you notice something about the bulletin?
It's back.
It's back. It's back. All right, so hopefully you have one. If not, you can make sure that you get one. So open it up if you have one. Let's kind of go through some of the things this morning. We are having our morning worship service. And then right after our morning worship service, you are going to have the opportunity to be able to participate in a video that is being put together by our anniversary team. And Jack is over there with his camera, and he's doing video of parts of the service today. But you, after the service, and this is for everybody, kids, teens, everybody, adults, old adults, young adults, everybody, we want you to go into the classroom, the large classroom down the hallway here, and we want you to give a one-word description of what Lake Hazel Bible Church means to you. One word. That's all you got to speak. One word, okay? All right? So you've got the whole service to be able to come up with one word. But let me clue you in. If you're standing in line waiting and you hear somebody in front of you give your word, you might want to already have two or three in mind just in case that happens, because I could just see that happening. And you getting up there and going, well, that person took my word. Okay, so come up with a couple, but make sure that you participate in that. That'll be really good. That'll be shown sometime during the weekend of our church anniversary. All right, so Saturday, 8 a.m., men's breakfast at Checkerama. So men, you are invited to come to men's breakfast and to be able to enjoy that time with us. Saturday at 3 p.m. here at the church, our children, Becky and I's children, are inviting you to celebrate with them the 50th wedding anniversary of their parents, which would be Becky and me. Okay, all right. So we want you to arrive somewhere close to 3 o'clock. Starting at 3:30, there will be a short program. Heavy on the short, followed by cake. That's the reason why it's going to be short. It's because cake is waiting for us. And so we want everybody to be there. Also, make sure that you are signed up to be a part of the 50th anniversary celebration of the church coming up in September. You have the dates there in the bulletin. Sunday, August 16th is the deadline to sign up. By the way, that's coming very, very quickly. You only have a few weeks yet to be able to sign up. So if you haven't done that, see somebody from the anniversary team. If you don't know who's on the anniversary team, come and tell me, and I'll point other people out to you that you can go and bother about that. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Are you glad that you're here this morning?
Yes.
So one prayer request that's been added to the bulletin. So Silas Tremaine, remember last week we sang happy birthday to him? So this Tuesday, for his birthday present, he gets to go have his tonsils out. And his adenoids, okay? All right, so be in prayer for Silas as he has this operation on Tuesday. I know that he and his family would appreciate your prayers. All right, as best as we can, let's take a deep breath, not too deep, and let's be ready to sing praises to God. Amen? Because that's what we're here for. All right, glad that you are here this morning. Let's go worship team.
All right, would you all stand with me this morning as we begin? Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. is surprising. I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. And every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Your love makes me sing. Yes, you make me sing. Lord, you make me sing, sing, sing. How you make me sing, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Say hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, and I will lift my voice to worship you, my stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, yeah. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship. To the heavens, your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. So glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Yeah, you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my day. Name on high. You came from heaven to earth to Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Give the Lord a round of applause. He's worthy of our praise. Come on. And go ahead and be seated. Thank you. God is good, amen?
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. He is the provider for all of your needs. He is good. He's worthy of praise. So let's lift him up today. Let's lift him up with all we got. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I could do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. Every circumstance, Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't want to forget how I feel right now on the mountaintop. I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel right now. Yeah, Jireh, you are enough. I'm already loved, I'm already chosen, I know who I am, I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved, more than I could imagine, more than you ask, think or imagine, according to his power working in us, it's more than enough. Ask, think, or imagine, according to his power working in us. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Hey, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Lord, we thank you for being more than enough, for providing more than our needs, blessings, hope, and future. Lord, you are indeed more than enough. So, Lord, right now, we just want to take a moment
and just pray and thank you for who you are, for what you've done. But Lord, there's a lot of people who don't have the same hope that we have. So Lord, we're praying for them right now. God, would you continue to reach out into our city, our state, our world with hope, with life, with love, in Jesus' name, amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we sing the God of Revival. You've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. In victory, and now you're seated forever on the throne. So why should my heart fear what you defeated? I will trust in you alone. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. Possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God, I'm revived. Darkest night, you can light it up, you can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome, you already won. Oh God of revival, oh God of revival.
Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. You know, I think a good prayer would be, God of revival, start that revival in me. Can you imagine if all of us would let him do the revival that he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives? Can you imagine what he could do through us once he does his work in us? Wow, that's amazing. All right, so do you know what an aptronym is? Some of you do. Some of you probably never heard that word before. An aptronym is a compound word consisting of the adjective apt, meaning aptitude, and the Greek word for name. An apterman is when someone's name and occupation line up, when what they are named describes what they do. So here's some actual examples. Dr. Bowser, a veterinarian. Dr. Wack, a chiropractor. Dan Druff, barber. Dr. Payne, dentist. Boy, that's apropos, isn't it? Otto Nogo, mechanic. You might want to hire him at your shop. Dr. Slaughter, surgeon. I hope not, right? Sonia Shears, a beautician. Dr. Whitehead, a dermatologist. Rose Flowers, a florist. And Dr. Smelzy, a podiatrist. Well, I think you get the point. But a greater point is this: names are very important to God. In Genesis, we read, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. God called the expanse heaven. God called the dry land earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, verse 8, and verse 10. And remember that God gave Adam the responsibility to name all the animals. Names are important to God. God also gave names to different people, with the meaning of the name often representing their character. And today, parents spend a lot of time deciding what to name their children. In fact, Becky's parents named their three girls Becky, Beverly, and Barbara. But they named their son, you ready? David. So while names are important in our society, they were even more so in Bible times. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 says, a good name is more to be desired than great riches. Names did not just distinguish a person. They often revealed the character of that individual. We see that in a change of name in the Bible, as it indicates a deliberate and decisive redirection in a person's life. Like when Abram, which means exalted father, became Abraham, father of a multitude. When Sarai, which means my princess, became Sarah, princess of a multitude. When Jacob, which means deceiver, became Israel, which means God contends. And when Simon, which means one who hears, was given the name Peter, which means rock. So a change of name in the Bible often referred to a change in a person's nature. Because in the Bible, to know someone's name was to really know the person. It could be said that a person was somehow present in his or her name. Now, with that in mind, I want to encourage you to greet people here at church that you do not know. And I want you to know that I'm encouraged by those of you who faithfully wear your name tags each week. I don't wear mine because if I wear my name tag with the lanyard that's been provided for me, and I put the head mic on, then the name tag gets trapped. And as I'm preaching and I'm using my hands to be able to talk, because I can't talk without moving my hands very long. Although some of you might say, oh, maybe we ought to try that. The sermon would be short. Don't count on it. Yeah? So I don't wear mine because I don't want it to be a distraction. I don't want to keep flipping it up and it not being able to go anywhere. And so as we get to know each other's names, we will also move toward each other, I believe, in a much healthier relationship. So thank you, those of you who faithfully wear your name tags. Now, last Sunday, we learned how the consequences of Adam's sin bring suffering to everyone. As part of Eve's consequences, she would experience pain in motherhood and problems in her marriage. Adam's consequence would be the futility of labor and the finality of life. So this morning, we need to see the purpose of a new name and the provision of new clothes. So hopefully by now you've found Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 20 and 21 this morning. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. So first, let's look at this new name. Adam had just been told by God that now his destiny would be death. Remember verse 19? For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And with that in mind, it's amazing what Adam does here in verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve. With the sentence of death ringing in his ears and heart, Adam gives a new name to his wife. Before this, she was known as a female, chapter 1, verse 27, helper, chapter 2, verse 18, woman, chapter 2, verse 23, and wife, chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Now, these are descriptive terms, but they're not names. But from now on, her name would be Eve. And this is the first time she is called Eve in the Genesis account, even though I've referred to her by that name in past sermons. The name Eve means living one, life giver, making alive, life spring. Her name now reflects her nature. And after hearing about his destiny of dust and death, Adam named her life giver. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? So when Adam named his wife life, he showed that he valued her. He fulfilled his role as husband and leader and showed the strength of his trust in God. Even though they would die, God would grant life to their offspring. As a result of sin, the woman would have pain in childbearing. That's justice. But would also have the promise of children. That's mercy. And along with this, here's some observations. Adam had once blamed Eve for her sin, and now he named her in light of future promises. He did not seem to resent her for her rebellious act of sin, but gave her a fresh start, just as God does with us. Adam chose to focus on life, not death. And every time someone spoke Eve's name, it would signify life. Adam's name meant dust or dirt, while Eve's name meant life. Here's another observation. Adam affirmed Eve's unique role God had given to her. She does not rename nameless, nor does she name herself. By giving her a personal and proper name, he affirmed how valuable she was as one created in the image of God. Giving Eve this name reinforced that they were in relationship with each other and recognized that they had a mission to accomplish together. What was that? To be fruitful and multiply. Even though Adam and Eve were destined to die, they would be fruitful and multiply and leave a legacy of life for generations to follow. And to counteract death, Eve would be the mother of all the living. And one very important application for us to know this morning of this is that we are all part of one race, the human race. Look at verse 20. She was the mother of all living. Notice that this is in the past tense. She was the mother. It's as good as done before it's done. It's as good as done before it's done. Though death was coming, life also was on the way. Isn't that beautiful? Only by God's grace, only by God's power, only by God's love and mercy and compassion could that happen. All right, let's look at the new clothes. Verse 21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Again, we see two of God's names used here. We sang one of God's names this morning, Jireh, provider. We see two of God's names used here in verse 21, the Lord God. The Lord God in the Hebrew is Yahweh Elohim. And this compound name for God is used 20 times in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. And when these two names are used together, we are reminded how God is both powerful and personal. we see the Lord God's compassion on display as he made clothes for Adam and Eve. He didn't leave them in their inadequate covering. He provided new clothes for them. So God is the world's first clothing designer as he gives this important gift to Adam and Eve in the garden. Now the word garments refers to a long undergarment, which was a full-length gown of grace worn next to the skin, kind of like a long shirt from the wrist down to the ankles. And what a contrast to those loose-fitting fig-leaf loincloths. Remember, fig leaves were scratchy and sticky, and they did not hold up well. And you can't do much plowing or planting or serious cooking if you're wearing fig leaves. So why did God clothe Adam and Eve? Well, let me give you some reasons. To help them face the elements in the harsh environment they would live in after they were expelled from Eden. More about that next Sunday. To demonstrate how God always meets our needs. Not necessarily our wants and our desires, but he meets our needs. To establish the importance of modesty and protect them from embarrassment. It was deeply shameful to be naked in public, and no one could approach God unclothed. To demonstrate how serious sin is, I want you to hold on to this. It cost the innocent animals their lives. To show how their feeble attempts at covering up the shame of their sin was not adequate. Their covering was insufficient. To show how God must provide what was needed. He did not add to what Adam and Eve had begun, but started over by taking off the loincloths and giving them new outfits. God killed the animals. God made the skins. God covered Adam and Eve with clothing. Here's another reason, to show God's mercy. Adam and Eve deserved death because of their disobedience, but God made a way for their sins to be taken away. To show the grace of God, God also gave them what they didn't deserve as he moved toward them to restore the relationship. Now remember, these garments were made from the skins of animals. And though it does not say specifically, it's probably likely that God would have slaughtered these animals in front of Adam and Eve. I wonder what that was like for them to see the blood shed from innocent animals who were sacrificed to provide a covering for them. I imagine they were horrified as they saw the animals Adam had named and nurtured, killed right before their eyes. Their sin cost these innocent animals their lives. Because of their sin, Adam and Eve should have been the first to die. But God provided substitute sacrifices for them. And this foreshadows the necessity of suffering, sacrifice, and substitution. Now, all of this culminated in the sacrifice of Jesus as our sin substitute on the cross. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God tells Satan that there is one coming who was going to crush his head. Oh, the one was going to bruise the one who's coming's heel, but the one who's coming was going to crush his head. That is a prophecy that God was going to send a Savior to be able to take care of the sin issue of all of mankind. And I believe that when he killed those animals, when he provided those skins, has new clothes for Adam and Eve. He was showing them what sin truly cost. And one day the one who was going to come has that substitute, has that ultimate sacrifice to not only cover sin, but to take away the sins of the earth. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming to the Jordan River? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who doesn't cover sin, but takes away the sin of the world," because he's the only one who could do that. The covering of clothing here back in the garden was a picture of how God would provide the payment for mankind's sin with the blood sacrifice of the coming seed of Eve. And that sacrifice is named Jesus. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, our sins are not covered. They are removed. Listen to Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. He does not deal with us according to our sins. I love that. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions. Another word for transgressions is sin from us. The best we can do to cover our sin is as inadequate and temporary as an ill-fitted fig leaf. God sent his son to clothe us with his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sin, because we are sinners, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Not a covering, a perfect sacrifice. Because he paid the penalty for our sins by dying in our place. Now, as we move towards the celebration of communion, I want you to remember Jesus' journey to the cross with me this morning. Luke chapter 22, verse 44 records a night in which the sweat of Jesus became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And remember what Jesus is forced to wear on his way to the cross? A crown of thorns. A byproduct and a symbol of the curse placed on the head of the sacrificial Lamb of God. Because what did God tell Adam was one of the consequences of his sin? There would now be thistles and there would now be thorns. Wasn't those two things prior to Adam's sin? Matthew chapter 27, verse 29 says, they twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and placed the staff in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. Take in the weight of this image for a moment. Before Jesus hangs on a cross to pay the price that God required for the sin of mankind, the curse hangs on his head, has thorns, and blood drips from his body. As the mangled crown of thorns was pushed into Jesus' skull, I wonder if he reflected on the day he first heard the pronouncement given to Satan about the one that would come to die. As Jesus journeyed to the cross, the embedded points of each thorn would have been sharp reminders of his mission, that he was the one that was to come to crush the head of Satan, to have his heel bruised, but to crush the head of Satan. They would have also foreshadowed his victory over Satan and his glorious future. And when we believe in him as Savior, our glorious future. 1 John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You see, God gives us a new name and a new nature when we believe in his Son as our sacrificial substitute, when we believe in him for that promise of eternal life. So do not try to cover your sins by your good works. It's not adequate. Because it's not what you do, but it's in whom you believe. Now, the celebration of communion helps us remember what God through Jesus has done for us. And I'm going to ask the men to come and to join me at the table. And while they're coming, let me just remind you that in order to take part in this celebration of communion, You do not have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to believe in Jesus for that promise of the gift of eternal life.
Look at the flowers and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to serve. Time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow lacking for
Let's remember Jesus.
Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I'm confident. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Oh, everything I need, yeah. Everything I need. Time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing, I know the Lord will provide. Yes, I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide.
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the